Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for listening to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Evan Witalison, and flying solo at the moment. I'm waiting for Troy to join us here tonight, talking World Series baseball, the Cubs versus the Indians, Game 1 of the World Series tomorrow. And during the show, I will give my World Series prediction and talk about the matchup a little bit and the path these teams took to get here. Before I do go back, I do want to let listeners know that I am a fitness coach. I'm very passionate about fitness and helping people get healthy. And if you are looking or know someone that is looking to get healthy, then by all means, have them shoot me an email, coachevan66@gmail.com. You know, I started my fitness journey at 381 pounds, and today I'm about right around 260. So all you got to do is just shoot me an email at coachevan66@gmail.com, and I can help you with that. And at this point, I'm going to bring in the great and wonderful Troy Otradovic. How are things going, Troy? It seems like it's been about a week since we talked last.
Yeah, it seems that way. I don't know how great and wonderful I am, but, yeah, it seems like it's been a while. To the fans, and it seems like a long time since we talked about baseball. So I'm excited to do that tonight. But, you know, it was one of these teams, Evan, is going to end their futility of a long World Series drought. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'll turn it back over to you and we'll get started.
Yeah, well, you know, we knew the Indians were in there. We knew the Indians had made it when they defeated the Blue Jays in five games. And it's just a matter of who are they going to play in the World Series. Is it going to be the Dodgers or is it going to be the Cubs? And, you know, I am not a Cubs fan, Troy. I'm not. I'm a Brewer fan, and I can't root for the Cubs. I'm gonna say that right now. I cannot root for the Cubs. However, I will say this. I was watching Saturday night. You know, I just got home from dinner. I'd gone to the Milwaukee Burger Company in Kenosha. Very good food, by the way. If you're local to me, I recommend checking it out, the Milwaukee Burger Company. So I got home from there, and I'm watching the NLCS Game 6. And, you know, I saw part of it at the restaurant, and then I caught the end of it at home. And just the passion and the energy that the fans and the players had, you know, singing along to me, one of the worst songs ever, but I do like their enthusiasm while singing it, the Go Cubs Go song. You know, I was watching it, and it just, I both hated watching it and enjoyed watching it at the same time, because it just showed you just how much love, you know, the Cub fans had for their team and just how long they've been waiting for this moment. They've been waiting not just to win the World Series, but to get to the World Series. They've been waiting for so long to get there, and you know, it was pulling at the heartstrings a little bit. You know, and the fan, like I said, Charlie, and the fans were singing that extremely horrible, you know, "Go Cubs, Go" whatever song. But it was just really enjoyable to watch. But they're not the only team that had a very long World Series win drought. The Indians were there most recently in 97, but they ended up losing a heartbreaker. They had the lead in the ninth inning with the chance to win it, but they blew the save and lost an extra inning. They also lost in 1995. But when the Indians last won the World Series, which, you know, was quite some time ago, they went through a spell you know, they went through about a 10-year drought without making the, you know, before they made it back to a World Series, and they lost. And they went through a spell to 1995, I believe it was, but they didn't even make the postseason. That's a long spell that the Indians were bad. And then they went through a spell in the 2000s up until this point where they weren't very good. But you got Terry Francona, who was manager of the Red Sox when the Red Sox drought was cursed, or whatever you want to call it, was killed. And you got Theo Epstein, the team president for the Cubs, who was the general manager who put that team together, who hired Terry Francona to help end the curse of the Bambino. Now, I'm not a huge person when it comes to curses and all that. I don't really necessarily believe in them per se. But if I were to talk about a team being cursed, I would be more argument that the Red Sox were more cursed than anybody, because, you know, the Cubs, for the most part, Troy, and the Indians, for the most part, it was poor front office people. It was poor drafting, poor signing, poor development, poor general manager, and poor, you know, poor ownership for a while. Why these teams seem like they're cursed for so long, and you know, that's kind of my opinion on the whole curse thing when it comes to the Cubs. So. But we got Cubs Indians, lots of storylines here. One, as you put, you know, one franchise is ending their fertility. One of these franchises will finally win a World Series, and you know, the American League has home field advantage. And you know, right now the Twitter universe, I put a poll out in the field, and right now 50% say the Indians will win in between 5 to 7 games. The Cubs, 41% feel the Cubs will win in between 5 to 7 games. 9% feel the Indians are going to win in a sweep. And 0% feel that the Cubs will win in a sweep. But what are your thoughts on this series, Troy? And, you know, as I said, I'm not rooting for the Cubs. I'm hoping the Indians win. Now, I do want to let listeners know, because I'm hoping the Indians win, that does not mean that's my prediction. So what are your thoughts on the on this World Series matchup for both teams?
I think it's going to be a good one. If you remember back, those that are listening in, we were talking a little bit of baseball when the playoffs started, and I like this Indians team, Evan. I've been on the Indian bandwagon, and it's no particular pinpointing the reason why. We talked about it. They're starting pitching depleted, roster depleted. They are a team that I like, and the reason I like them, Evan, is that they play baseball. They just play baseball the way baseball is meant to play. They do the fundamentals. This pitching staff has come together where the old adage, next man up, well, that's Cleveland Indians pitching staff with the amount of injuries that they had. And then Trevor Bauer playing with a drone and almost getting his finger amputated. Then he tries to go pitch. The vision of that game, Evan, is when Bauer's hand is next to his leg and the blood is dripping down off of his finger in a steady stream. Now, you can call the man a bonehead for playing with the drone and not knowing that it was on when he was putting batteries in, but you've got to give the guy credit for trying to pitch on 3 days after an open wound required 10 stitches. And I knew he wasn't going to last very long. But you got to give him credit for that. Now, you can give him a bonehead award for playing with a drone and putting batteries in, not knowing it was turned on. And then Andrew Miller, the way that he pitched, I mean, this is a guy, you bring him in, and you knew when you bring Andrew Miller in that he is going to shut the other team down. He has literally stepped up his game so much that he won the ALCS MVP. And he came in and dominated in middle relief, which is in the postseason, pitching is so important. Because when you look on the offensive side of the ball, Evan, they have not a lot of star power. Not a lot of star power. I mean, you look at guys that are solid players, but how many people really knew about Francisco Lindor before the playoffs? probably not many people, unless you follow baseball. Chisenhall, how many people know that he had a solid year? There's guys that you look on this roster that are probably not household names, and they don't have that star power like the Cubs and a Bryant, a Rizzo. So the Cleveland Indians do it the old-fashioned way. They play baseball. I'm surprised. I mean, you look at this series against Toronto, it was the big bats were supposed to just destroy the limited arms that the Indians had, and they did nothing but step their game up one more time. Now they have to shut down another good offensive team in the Cubs. And the Cubs, at the end of their series against the Dodgers, they found their bats. And if their bats have come alive and have woken up here in the World Series, it could be a very short World Series for Cleveland and extend their streak as the Cubs celebrate, because their pitching staff, Evan, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, and that's going to be my question as you look at both of these pitching staffs. But the Cubs have a very good pitching staff in their own right. And on paper, you almost have to point the finger to the Cubs having a better pitching staff. But when you look at the performance and the intangibles over the two series, or even the postseason, the Indians and their no-name bullpen and no-name pitching, other than Kluber, have done a good job. But where do you see the pitching advantage in this World Series, Evan? Do you give a team an advantage, or do you think it's a push?
Well, if I'm talking just starting rotation, I give it to the Cubs. The Cubs have a better, deeper rotation. Could you get, you know, you get past, you know, the ace of the Indians rotation, Corey Kluber, who, you know, you get past him, there's not really anything special in the Indians rotation. Now, they not saying that you need a pitching staff for aces to be competitive, but the thing is, you know, the Cubs starting rotation is deep, and they can go deep in the games. The Indians, you know, they relied a ton on their bullpen in the playoffs so far. You know, they have two starting pitchers, one who should return, but they had two guys out injured, two guys out hurt, and you know, we'll see if if either one can return for the World Series. But even still, you know, Cubs got John Lester, they got John Lackey, they got Arrieta, they got Hendrickson, Hendricks. They got a much deeper starting rotation. Now, if you're talking bullpen, then the Indians get the advantage. The Indians get the advantage at when it comes to the bullpen. But the thing is, the Indians got to figure out how to get leads. They got to score runs, and that's going to be key. The key in the World Series is the Indians have to score early. They have to jump out to leads. You know, the run differential for the Cubs is an astounding 252. They scored 808 runs this year and only allowed 556. You look at the Indians. They scored 777 and allowed 676 and, you know, one run differential 101. You know, if the Indians want to compete in this, they have to score runs early. The Cubs could take advantage with their offense. Their offense is very deep, and scoring, you know, even getting runners on base against this Cub team is going to be difficult. So, the Indians are going to have to figure out a way to get the starting rotation and try to get through unscathed. And I just don't see that happening. I just think the Cubs have too much power. And that's another reason why I give the starting, when it comes to starting pitching, I give the nod to the Cubs. Because you look at the Cubs lineup, that's going to be murderer's row. With Chris Bryant and Javier Baez and Jason Hayward, Dexter Flower, Anthony Rizzo, Jorge Soler. That's going to be murderer's row for any pitching staff. And I just don't trust the Indians pitching staff against this rotation. So I tip my hat to the Cubs there. Bullpen, I tend to go more towards the the Indians, but starting rotation. I don't know how. The Indians can't compete. So, what are your thoughts?
Well, if you remember back against the Toronto series, I said I just like these Indians, and I gave you my reason why. They're a fundamentally sound team. You mentioned playing with a lead. This is a team that they're going to go out and they're going to play baseball. Are they on a magical, whimsical magic carpet ride? Yes. You brought up one key point, and that is how they utilize their pitching because they're not deep with the pitching staff. The rest that they received or they had from winning early was much needed. But this is an Indians team, Evan, that I think has been playing the underdog role through the postseason, even though they won their division. I think anybody thought that they would sweep the Red Sox. I don't think anybody thought they would dismantle the Blue Jays in five games. But it's all predicated on the success of that pitching staff. Now, they were rested, and some people will say, well, the rest, it can go one of two ways. If you're hot, keep pitching, but pitchers need rest. Like you mentioned, the advantage the Cubs have in pitching is their starters can go six, 7 innings deep. They can afford to let their pitchers do it because they have a deeper starting five. I know you don't go five in the postseason, which helps their availability for the bullpen. The Indians, and I'm going to go back to when Merritt pitched, he pitched what I called a gem of a game, 4.1 innings. He pitched a gem. When's the last time you've heard anybody talked about a pitcher pitching a gem in 4.1 innings? Merritt did, but that's about all they were going to use him, and that was the game plan, four or five innings. And that's really outside of Kluber. When you look at the starting rotation, I can't say that Bauer's going to go out of it and pitch a complete game, even with a injury where the skin has healed and it's not bleeding. How much discomfort is going to be in that finger? But outside of Kluber, you look at a starting rotation where they're probably assuming and they're game planning, let's just get five solid innings out of our starter. And for the Cubs, they have starters legitimately that can give you nine. You look at Arrieta, you look at Lester, you have the ability, and Hendricks. I mean, you have right there three pitchers, Evan, that could give you nine innings and really save a bullpen. And when you look on the Indians' side, they've got Kluber. And if you'd look at their record, Evan, the 8-1 record, if I would have told you that Kluber is the pitcher that's going to have a loss, I probably would have shook my head and said, no, it's not going to be him if you have to pick just one pitcher. So I'm still going to ride the magic carpet ride with the Indians, Evan. There's just something about this team I like. I said it against Toronto. I can't pinpoint it. There's no reason I should. You look at all the debates that you said, starting pitching, advantage Cubs, bullpen, yeah, you give the advantage to the Indians. However, it's also a more worked bullpen, so do you really give the advantage to the Indians? You probably could give it to the Cubs because they have the guys that they've got to drop into the bullpen that won't be in the starting five. Offensively, position by position, I mean, where do the Indians win that, Evan? I mean, I'm going to throw it back to you. When you look position for position, is there a position, Evan, that you think that the Indians actually win a battle? I mean, you got Bryant at third. I mean, that's a win for the Cubs. Maybe Santana, Rizzo, you can give a push, but Rizzo's a good first baseman. You look at shortstop with Russell, and maybe Lindor gets the advantage there, but there is no clear-cut position win when you go position by position, Indians to Cubs. It's actually, you know, as an Indian fan, if that's what you are, you just have to hope they continue to play baseball the way that they know how, because there is no clear-cut advantage in position players. The needle points in every way to the Cubs. But I like the Indians. I'm sticking and jumping on that Indian bandwagon. And again, I can't pinpoint why. Just something about this club. I like the way they play baseball. So back to my question. Is there, Evan, in your mind, a position of the 8 fielding positions where the Indians have an advantage?
I think shortstop's probably the one where it probably is the closest with Francisco Lindor with the Indians. That's probably where it's the closest. But if you go top to bottom with the lineups, the 1 through 8, the Cubs pretty much have the advantage all the way around, and they got the advantage when it comes to the bench too. I think they got a deeper bench. The fact that Jason Hayward comes off the bench quite frequently, for an example. Ben Zorbis is a good utility guy as well. The Indians have been doing, and they need to continue to do, is they play good team baseball. They're not going to beat you by talent. They're not. They're not the most talented team in the race. They're just not. And when it comes to talent, they don't match up well against the Cubs when it comes to talent. But the Indians are very scrappy. They're very scrappy. They fight, they scratch, they claw their way to victories. And they got the Miller, who's a shut-them-down type of closer. But position by position, I don't see any clear-cut favorite for the Indians, except, like I said, for maybe shortstop. So, you know, I look at this, and I want to see the Indians win. I hope the Indians can win. I'm cheering for the Indians to win because I don't want to see the Cubs win. However, you know, they do with my brain here, Troy. When I look at this matchup, it's going to come down to starting pitching, and I just think the Cubs are better with the starting pitching and the defense behind the starting pitchers. The Cubs defense is the best in baseball. I saw them turn some plays this postseason, Troy, that my jaw hits the floor. And what I think is going to happen is I think the Cubs win, you know, clinch the World Series at home. I think they win in 5. I think the Indians and Cubs split at home, and I think the Cubs, I should say, in Cleveland. And I think the Cubs sweep them at Wrigley Field, and it's going to be a huge party going on at Wrigley Field in a few days. That's just what my brain's telling. And maybe I'm going to be proven wrong. Maybe the Indians are going to come out and shock the world, win the series. But I just don't see how the Indians can do this. I just really don't. And as I said, I see the Cubs winning this in 5. So that's where I'm at with this series.
Well, here's what you're going to see, Evan. You're going to see Charlie Sheen, Wild Thing, come out, and the Cleveland Indians are going to shock the world. When you mentioned earlier in the show that the Indians and the longevity of bad baseball. You know your team is bad when they make a movie, a parody of your baseball team, and they have to give you a World Series win in a movie. And I think what you're going to see is the same thing that you're talking about and what I just talked about with position players and pitching staff and the needle pointing one way. I think it was about the same when you saw the Indians enter the series against the Blue Jays. And here's how they do it, Evan. I know you're cheering for the Indians, but you're logically picking the Cubs, and that's great. I'm cheering for the Indians, and I'm picking the Indians. I think the makeup that they have and the way they've been using the bullpen is a formula that is going to continue to work. This much-needed rest, I think, is going to help them. I think you're going to find guys that are stepping up, which they have on the pitching staff. This is an Indian team, Evan, I think, that gets overlooked with their power. They actually hit 6 home runs in the ALCS, and 5 different players provided that power. So they have some power, and I think it's just an underappreciated power that they have. Now, they don't have the consistent bat other than Santana. Santana's the guy that every time he steps to the plate can crack one over the wall, and he's probably the only one. But when you look at this team, Evan, if they can get power from five different guys against the Cubs, it's going to help. I mean, you look at some of the guys that have sporadic power, and you got Lindor, and you got Coco Crisp, and Napoli, and Kipnis, who all added homers in the ALCS to Santana. That's what they're going to need. I mean, you look at that Game 5, Evan, and they had back-to-back innings where they hit home runs with Santana and Coco Crisp. And that is the sporadic things that they're going to need to do to dismantle the Cubs. Do I think the magical run of, you know, a sweep and then a 4-1 series win? You're saying in five. I think this game actually goes to seven games, and I think you're going to find just a gritty Game 7, and I think this time, instead of the Indians being on the bad side of the loss in extra innings in the World Series, I think you're going to see the Indians actually win a pivotal Game 7 and keep the Cubs from winning once again and extend the long drought in Chicago. And I'm not saying that because I find it hard to cheer for the Cubs. Like I said, I've jumped on this bandwagon. I'm a believer in team baseball. They've utilized their bullpen and everybody knowing their roles and guys coming in and giving them an inning in the third, an inning in two-thirds. If they can go in and be efficient, and what I mean by efficient, Evan, is getting outs and not extending their pitch counts, you will see Cleveland bring this to seven games and bring the title home to Cleveland. And so with a couple minutes left, Evan, what do you think that would do? Let's hypothetically say the Indians win the World Series. What do you think that would do to the city of Cleveland with the Cavaliers being NBA champs, the Indians being Major League Baseball champs, and then on the other side you have the good old woeful Browns at 0-7. But what do you think a baseball World Series would do to Cleveland to add that to the NBA championship that they have with LeBron James?
Well, it would probably be another reason for player for the Cavaliers not to wear a shirt. I know he didn't wear one for it seemed like an eternity after the Cavaliers won the World Series. It gets him a chance to take a shirt off again, I guess. But off Kenton's side, it would be another huge party for the city of Cleveland. And you know they're not going to get one in February. So this will be the last one they have until possibly June. So, you know, it's just kind of funny for a city like Cleveland, you go from not winning so many years in a row to now you're winning, you know, the city's winning two major championships in one calendar year. That's pretty impressive. So, I just, you know, just be another huge party for the city of Cleveland again.
Yeah, and they say things come in three, Evan. If you're a believer in the karma beliefs and, you know, the fate of the world, my grandma always used to say good or bad things happen in threes or sevens. And if you are looking at threes and you're looking at championships, you can't give one to the Brownies. That's not happening. But if the Indians would win a second one and you believe in that karma business, would the third title, and I know it's not for this show, but this is how I'm going to end the show. Do you think that the third title, when things come in three, would be a back-to-back championship for the Cleveland Cavaliers? Because then that would finish off the good karma and that good things happen in three. So, that is all I have, Evan. We're at the end of the show. Anything else that you have for the wonderful fans that we have listening in?
No, I don't have anything else to add.
Wonderful. Well, I know we normally do Packer Talk on Monday night. Hope you enjoy the World Series preview. Evan is picking the Cubs in five. I'm picking the Indians in seven. Tomorrow night we get back to football with the Green Bay Packer preview, but I think Evan was trying to also set up a guest. So, if we don't do Packers tomorrow, we'll do Packers on Wednesday. But either way, you're getting a good dose of NFL tomorrow night and Wednesday night. So make sure you join Evan and I tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Fasten your seatbelts. Put your foot on the gas. Have a great night, everyone. We'll get back at you later.